Shalom Aleichem, everyone. Good evening. We're at the middle of Chodesh Elul. We're about the halfway mark of Chodesh Elul, which means we're close to halfway through a very important 40-day period. The Torah tells us that the original Chodesh Elul dates back to the one that Moshe Rabbeinu spent on Har Sinai. Moshe Rabbeinu goes up on Har Sinai on Shavuos, intending to come down 40 days later with Luchos from HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the 17th of Tammuz, which should have been an incredibly joyous day. Sadly, as you know, the Luchos are broken due to the Chet HaEgel. Moshe goes up a second set of 40 days and then a third set of 40 days, beginning Rosh Chodesh Elul and climaxing with Yom HaKippurim. The very first time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu granted Kapara to the Tzibur, the very first time HaKadosh Baruch Hu granted the Jewish people a second chance, expressed physically, palpably, in the second set of luchos, that second opportunity HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us to try again. Every time we come back to Elul, the Elul Aseres Yemei Tshuva combination, those 39, 40 days, reach back to the original Tshuva Satzibur and Kapara Satzibur, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kindness, and give us a chance to try again. And so, if we're in the middle of Elul, we're really heading towards the climax of Yom Kippur. And the climax of Yom Kippur, of course, is Ne'ilah. What happens right before Ne'ilah? What's the last section of Tanakh that our Chachamim expect us to read? The final preparation for the climax. Mishnah tells us, you can take a look if you'd like at the text on the screen. Mishnah, the end of Maseches Megillah, speaks about the special Krios, the special Krios HaTorah, the special laning that takes place on the Yom Tovim. And the Mishnah tells us, B'Yom HaKippurim Achrimos. Yom HaKippurim, in the morning, we read the portion of Achrimos, the Kohen Gadol, the special Avodah of Yom HaKippurim, the special service in Beis HaMikdash in Yom HaKippurim. The Gemara goes on to give us more details. The Gemara speaks about the morning laying, the afternoon laying. The Gemara tells us, U'maftirin B'Yona, at Mincha, we're obligated to read the Nevuah of Yonah, the story of Yonah. This is a Talmudic obligation. It's the last section of the Tanakh that we read in preparation for Ne'ilah. It's where it all closes. So this Yonah must be incredibly, incredibly significant. What is it about Yonah that's so significant? That's what we're going to explore over the course of three shiurim beginning this evening. I'd like to take you through something that's so familiar. We've all heard the story of Yonah before, Yonah and the whale. And maybe we, or perhaps children or grandchildren, have come home from preschool with those whale projects. And you know, Yonah is for children, but certainly not only for children. And if we look at Yonah with mature adult eyes, with analytic eyes, we're going to discover, Mirtz Hashem, so much. Let's begin this journey to appreciate the messages of Yonah. If we had a more in a more interactive setting, I would love to look at Yonah with you together, and we could have the opportunity to throw out questions and put them up on the board, on the whiteboard. Let's see what we discover. Given the realities of Zoom, let's do this together. On the screen, you see an overview of, you see Yonah on one page. Four prakim of Yonah, a total of only 48 psukim. The first parak is Yonah on the boat. The second parak is Yonah inside the great fish. The third parak is Yonah in Nineveh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him a second chance, speaks to him a second time. This time he chooses to follow divine command and head to Nineveh. And finally, the fourth parak is the aftermath. It's Yonah, after having delivered the message that he was mandated to give, he retreats to a spot outside of Nineveh where he can overlook Nineveh and see what happens. The four prakim. And as we look through these prakim, let's take a look together and see some of the questions that might leap to the eye. We're going to see some questions, and then this evening we're going to begin to look at some of the messages that emerge from the opening parak. Now, the action really is is in Nineveh. The action is really when Yonah finally goes to Nineveh in the third parak and delivers a message that HaKadosh Baruch has asked him to give, and we see the tshuva of Yonah unfolding. Of the people of Nineveh unfolding in the third parak. As a matter of fact, the Beis Yosef, Yosef Karo in his halacha commentary in the Tur, when the Tur quotes the halacha that the haftarah at Mincha is Yonah, Beis Yosef explains, you know why, what Yonah's connection is to Yom Kippur? And l'fi sheyesh ba godel koach hatshuva. Because Yonah speaks of the power, the magnitude of the transformative power of tshuva. And we think about the tshuva of the people of Nineveh. The beginning of the third parak, Yonah is told to go to Nineveh and tell them they have 40 days left, and they change their ways, and the city is saved. Wow, the transformative power of tshuva, godel koach hatshuva. We don't just read the third parak. So let's back up to the beginning. As we look through the first parak, Kadosh Baruch Hu speaks to Yonah in the second pasuk, Kum lecha Nineveh ha'ira gadola. I need you to go to Nineveh, ukra eleha, and deliver a message to them, ki also rasam lefanai. The transplant of evil, transplant of corruption, the city of Nineveh. Nineveh is one of the great metropolises of the ancient Near East, the capital of Assyria, which was at the time an up-and-coming superpower. And rather than heading there, Yonah runs away. Vayakam Yonah levroch Tarshish. Yonah gets up and he runs to Tarshish. He runs to Tarshish. He gets, as we know, he heads to Yaffa, which was a major port city. Pays for a ride on a boat. Heads off to Tarshish in the opposite direction. Nineveh is to the northeast. He's instead heading to the west, into the sea. Kadosh Baruch Hu, as we know, Hetil Ruach Gedola, a great storm. An enormous storm breaks out. Everyone is frightened. Vayiru ha-malachim. The sailors are frightened. They begin to call out to Kadosh Baruch Hu. And they begin to unload baggage, unload luggage into the water to make the boat lighter in an attempt to save themselves, an attempt to make the boat lighter and weather the storm. Yonah, meanwhile, goes down into the bottom of the boat, into the hull, and he goes to sleep. The captain calls him in Pasuk Vav, why are you sleeping? We're all praying. You need to pray. Maybe God will listen to you. We need to pray. We need to be saved. They begin to cast the goralos to figure out B'shelem miharazos in Pasuk Zayin. Well, why is this happening to us? Whose fault is this? The gora of the lots pick Yonah. They ask him, what's this all about? And he explains to them that I'm running away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Milifnei Hashem Hu Boreach. He's running away from God. They're frightened. Pasuk Yud, Vayiru HaAnashim Yiragadol, they are very frightened. What are you doing? Yonah convinces them the only way to save themselves, throw him into the water. Pasuk Yud, Beisauni V'atilun HaYam, throw me into the water, V'yishtok HaYam Aleichem. That way, it's all about me. If I'm off the boat will be safe. They're very frightened. They try to get back to shore. They don't want to heave Yonah overboard. They realize they have no choice. They daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and as soon as he's heaved into the water, the storm miraculously stops. They have a great year of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They bring karbanos to Ribbono Shel Olam, and they even make promises. Fascinating. So much. It's a whole 16 psukim. It's a third of Yonah. It seems all introductory because, after all, isn't the story really about Perek Gimel? Isn't the story really about Yonah's message to Nineveh? There's a lot here about the sailors. And that's not the only question. We hear more than once in the course of this parak that Yonah was running away in Pasuk Gimel. Vayakam Yonah levroch tarshishem lefnei Hashem. Yonah, rather than heading northeast to Iran, to Iraq, to Assyria, to Nineveh, instead he heads almost the exact opposite direction, westward, into the sea to Tarshish. He's fleeing, livroach milifnei Hashem, he's running away from God. Why is he running away? He's a Navi. Why doesn't he want to fulfill HaKadosh Baruch Hu's commandment? And moreover, he's a Navi. He knows that running away from God is not only a terrible idea, it's also futile. There's no way to run away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He knew his Chumash Bereishis. So the Kodesh Baruch told out the Marishan, you can't hide from the Baruch Shalom. What's Yonah trying to do? What's this entire parak about? Why is Yonah running away? And how does he think he's going to succeed at running away? You know what else is interesting? Who's silent over the course of the first and the second prakim? You know who's silent? Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kadosh Baruch Hu speaks to Yonah at the very beginning, the first two psukim. Ahi dvar Hashem al Yonah ben Amitai. Leimor, Kadosh Baruch Hu speaks to Yonah, kum leichem Nineveh, go to Nineveh. And then radio silence. We don't hear from the Ribono Shel Olam at all until the very end of Perek Beis, the last pasuk of Perek Beis, after Yonah's tshuva in the fish, Yonah's song to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the fish, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells the fish, spit Yonah out, we'll give him another chance, and in the beginning of Perek Gimel, Hashem speaks to him again. Vayid var Hashem al Yonah sheinis lemar. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we haven't heard from HaKadosh Baruch Hu throughout the whole Perek. What's the meaning of all this? Going back to our first question, why is Perek Aleph even here? So a little bit of historical background. As I mentioned, Nineveh is the capital of Ashur, the capital of Assyria, which was an up-and-coming superpower in the Middle East, and would soon after the days of Yonah, in the second half of the Bayez Rishon period, Ashur would come and conquer much of Eretz Yisrael. It would sack entirely the northern kingdom, Malchus Yehuda, and subsequently come and attack the southern kingdom as well, it would attack the destroy the northern kingdom, Malchus Yisrael, and subsequently come and threaten and destroy much of the southern kingdom as well, Malchus Yehuda, coming up until the gates of Yerushalayim. Ashur would not destroy Yerushalayim or the Beis HaMikdash, but short of that, it would inflict an incredible blow on Klal Yisrael. That's what Nineveh is. Nineveh is the capital of this growing superpower. And that's why there's an ancient medrash, the Mechilta. It explains in Pasuk Beis, Kum Leichel Nineveh, he's being sent to Nineveh, Ha'ir HaGadol, the great city. It's about to become even greater. And that's why, the Mechilta says in Pasuk Gimel, Vayakam Yonah Levroch Tarshisha. Why does Yonah want to flee? The reason why he wants to flee, his goal is to not deliver that message. He's a Navi. He's an incredible tzaddik. But he says to himself, how can I be vehicle for saving Nineveh? Nineveh is set to be destroyed if they don't do tshuva. If I deliver to them this message of inspiration, this message of tshuva, and Nineveh lives to see another day, my message will allow Nineveh to endure and allow Nineveh to become the vehicle, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's vehicle, for inflicting destruction on Klal Yisrael. Yonah says, I can't do that. It's the right thing to do. It's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects. But how can I be part of the process leading to destruction in Eretz Yisrael, to destruction in Klal Yisrael? He says, I'll take one for the team. I can't do it. Couldn't bring himself to do it. So that answers one question. Why is Yonah running away? What's he trying to accomplish? Says the Mechilta, certainly not the only approach. But the Mechilta suggests, and a number of Mefarshim quote this Mechilta, he's seeking to avoid being part of the divine plan to inflict punishment on Klal Yisrael. But then there's the deeper question that we raised before. Even if you understand what it is Yonah was trying to accomplish, why he wanted to run away, we wonder, didn't he realize it was futile? Didn't he know? You can't escape HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Ibn Ezra has a fascinating diuk. He says the answer to that question, that second question of how did Yonah think he would run away, it lies in a single letter. Take a look at Pasuk Gimel. Vayakim Yonah levroch Tarshish milifnei Hashem. Yonah gets up to flee to Tarshish from God. Is that what it is? Take a look later on. Later in the Perek, Pasuk Yud. The people on the boat now know that ki yadu hanashim ki milifnei Hashem hu barech. Yonah is running away from God. There's one letter too many here. Ibn Ezra says, if it's run away from God, should be he's running mipnei Hashem. He should be barech mipnei Hashem. But it's milifnei Hashem. Here in Pasuk Gimel, he's being barech not from God, but from being in the presence of God. He's running away from being in the state of lifnei Hashem. And again in Pasuk Yud, he's running away from lifnei Hashem. So the Ibn Ezra explains that if you look throughout Chumash, and particularly Chumash Devarim, the term lifnei Hashem, usmachtem lifnei Hashem, and so on and so forth, when we talk about simcha lifnei Hashem, bringing karbanos lifnei Hashem in the presence of God, that's a reference specifically to in the precincts of Mikdash. Sometimes in the Azara, sometimes more broadly in the Har HaBayis, or perhaps even Yerushalayim. But to be for a human being to be lifnei Hashem is to be in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To be in Mikdash, which is a place where a human being is able to more vividly experience being in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yonah wasn't running away from God, says Ibn Ezra. He didn't think that Hashem wouldn't notice him. Of course he knew Melo Kol Aretz Kevodo. Yonah knew well and good that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would know where he was. What Yonah was trying to escape was being in the enhanced presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, Yonah knew that in Eretz Yisrael, on dry land, he was likely to get another Nevuah. As you said before in the answer to the first question, Yonah knew that HaKadosh Baruch Hu intended to use Nineveh, to use Ashur, as a vehicle for punishing Klal Yisrael. And he knew that he was violating the Nevuah by avoiding heading to Nineveh. So he figured, I already got one Nevuah, let me at least avoid getting another Nevuah. So let me head out of Eretz Yisrael, let me head on to a shaky boat, and I'll be far from the Nevuah zone. That way I won't get Nevuah again. Now let's see how this works out. Does it work out? Well, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't speak to him again until he's back on dry land in Perek Gimel. But maybe there's more to the story. So let's keep going. Yonah is, later in Pasuk Gimel, Yonah finds a boat, Vayimtza on Yabar Sarshish, he finds a boat headed to Tarshish, Vayitain Sechara. Nothing at first dramatic there, Vayitain Sechara, he paid his way. Okay, you know, didn't jump the turnstile. What's the significance? Some of the Mefarshim point out that Yitain Sechara, the Rishonim quote from the Medrash, it doesn't say Yitain Sechara. Yonah was a man. He should have paid his fare, not her fare. Which woman was he paying for? So the Medrash suggests Yitain Sechara as a reference to the boat. He paid the fare of the boat. In other words, he paid it for the entire boat. He was in a rush to get out of Eretz Yisrael. This Nevuah was burning a hole in his pocket. He didn't want to get another one. He's so intent in getting out of Eretz Yisrael as quickly as he can. He asks them, when are you leaving? He said, as soon as we fill up, we need all the seats filled. He said, I'll pay for all the empty seats. Just leave now. He's a man on a mission to avoid his divine mission. Kadosh Baruch Hu is not going to speak to him again. And yet, the first thing that happens is the storm. You know, what's intriguing is that we know with the story, we've heard it so many times, but yet when we look at it with fresh eyes, there's a storm, Pasuk Dalet. It looked like the boat was going to break. And how do the sailors respond? They're very scared. Pasuk Yiru HaMalachim. They're frightened. Okay. They begin to pray to their pagan deities. Okay. So there's a spiritual response. They begin to pray according to their religious, idolatrous religious beliefs, and they begin to take practical measures as well. Hishadlus, we might say. They begin to throw some of the extra weight off the boat. And they even, so far, so good. It's what we expect, an emotional response, vayiru'u, spiritual response, practical response. In Pasuk Vav, the captain even makes sure that he takes a full roll call. Yonah's missing, brings Yonah up. We need you to pray as well. But then Pasuk Zayin, there's a fourth response. In addition to being afraid and prayer and lightening the boat, they start to toss goralos, lots. B'shelem mi hara hazos lanu. This happened to us because of which person? Who's at fault for this storm? Now that's a strange response. How do they know it's the fault of anyone on the boat? They were sailors. They'd never been in a storm before. So that's what the Midrashim suggests, that there was something different about this storm. They saw that this storm was a micro storm. They look around, a quarter of a mile away, this way and that way, and there are other boats, and they seem to be in calm waters. Only their one boat is enmeshed in this micro storm, a miraculous micro storm. So that's what they understood. This wasn't just any storm. This wasn't of natural cause. They understood it was a message about their boat. It had to be someone on their boat, and that's why they are the Goralos. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu wasn't speaking to Yonah again directly, but almost immediately, his boat and his boat only is hit by a storm. And he understands what's going on. Now I want to show you a fascinating pattern. We've answered several of our questions. We understand why Yonah wanted to run away. He didn't want to be the indirect vehicle for the subsequent suffering of Klal Yisrael. We understand how he thought he would run away, not mi p'nei Hashem, but mi lifnei Hashem, not escaping God, but moving into a place where he's less likely to get another nevuah, a place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu would likely not instruct him a second time to go to Nineveh. But we were wondering also why the back so much back and forth with the sailors. So let me show you something fascinating. The word vayiru'u appears three times. They're frightened. We saw it in Pasuk Hey. The three initial responses of the sailors to this remarkable storm, in addition to the praying to their gods, and practically lightening the boat, vayiru'u ha-malachim, they're frightened. Take a look at Pasuk Yud, it happens again. Vayiru'u ha-anashim, yir'ah gedolah. Now they're incredibly frightened. This is right after Yonah has told them that he's sinning, that he's ignoring the nevuah that he was giving, and that's why the storm happens. And then finally, Pasuk Tes Zayin, the last Pasuk of this parak, vayiru'u ha-anashim, yir'ah gedolah, es Hashem. So first it is Vayiru. They're frightened. Very vague. Very murky. They're not really sure what's going on. But they prayed to their Avodah Zarah. Five Pesukim later, Pasuk Yud, Vayiru Hashem Yir'ah Gedolah. It's a great fear. Probably not just magnitude. Not just that they're more scared. But now it's already moving towards something more true. Because he just told them that he's a Navi of Hashem. And this is happening because of the one true God, Ribono Shlom, who's bringing the storm. And finally, it climaxes after they see the Nisim, that the miraculous storm disappears instantly as soon as Yonah thrown into the water. They understand that it's all about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're watching the remarkable spiritual metamorphosis of the sailors. From being idolaters to people who increasingly recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it climaxes, and they're bringing karbanos to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's directly described as a Yira Gadola Es Hashem. By Yidru Nadarm, what are those? Nadarm, the Radaka has two approaches. Either they promise to give tzedakah, or they promise to become Gerim. Remarkable. So if I were to ask you, who does tshuva in Yonah? Remember we saw earlier as we were starting, Beis Yosef says the reason why we read Yonah on Yom Kippur is because of Godel Koach HaTshuva. Not only the tshuva of the people of Nineveh, is also the tshuva of the sailors. And it's remarkable. There is the tshuva of Yonah as well. That comes in Perek Beis. And that perhaps we'll talk about next time. But I want to leave you with a remarkable insight that Rav Avinair shares in his Shiurim on Yonah. What's really special about the tshuva of the sailors is the following. What catalyzed their tshuva? What caused their tshuva? What got it started? Yonah. Why is Yonah on the boat? Why is Yonah being punished? Because he didn't want to lead the non-Jews of Nineveh to tshuva. And he specifically got on the boat to avoid getting another message from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? You don't want me to talk to you? I won't talk to you directly. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu will accomplish his goal. Number one, communicating with Yonah. And how does he communicate? Not just through the storm, but in Yonah's attempt to avoid bringing Nachum to tshuva, ironically, he actually causes this whole group of non-Jews, non-Jewish sailors, to transform from people who pray to Avodah Zarah to people who are bringing karbanos to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who perhaps are ready to become gerim, in seeking to avoid causing the tshuva of Anshei Nineveh, he leads to the tshuva of the sailors. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is what Ravineh refers to, the Sod HaShkacha, part of the subtlety, the secret of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's involved in this world. That on the one hand, he gives us Bechir Chavshas, he gives us a chance to have free will and to make choice of what our behavior will be when we decide to act like this or like that. But at the same time that he gives us those choices, he has a certain goal, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has certain goals in mind. And those goals are not only realized despite our choices against, but they could ironically be realized through our choices against. It was only by running away from Nineveh that he brought the sailors to tshuva. And there's one more layer to this. Because the Radak in Paragimel wonders, how come the people, you know, Yonah shows up in Nineveh and he gives a 5-word speech. One of the greatest metropolises in the world. You know, a fellow gets up on a soapbox in the middle of Manhattan and says, you know, the world is coming to an end. People aren't automatically doing tshuva. Why is everyone listening to, why is all of Nineveh suddenly transformed by this brief message from Yonah? So Radak says something fascinating. He says, when was the last time anyone had heard of Yonah? In the middle of the Mediterranean Sea. Remember what happened in Perek Aleph. The sailors knew exactly why Yonah was, what he had done. It was clear. The miracles were clear. He had told them, I'm running away. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to go to Nineveh. I'm refusing. There's a messenger I'm supposed to deliver to Nineveh, and I don't want to give it, and that's why I'm being punished. And they see him go into the middle of the ocean, into the middle of the Mediterranean. They know there's some message that's incredibly important. It's meant to get to Nineveh, but Yonah will never be able to deliver it because he just perished in the middle of the Mediterranean. Radak suggests word probably got to Nineveh, that there's some divine message that they're not going to hear because Yonah perished in the middle of the Mediterranean trying to avoid giving them the message. And then Yonah himself walks in alive and well, and he has a captive audience. Everyone in Nineveh wants to hear what it is that Yonah wants to say. He had a miraculous introduction. And so when Yonah does indeed come in Parakimel, his words are remarkably effective. What's incredibly ironic about that is that Yonah, not only did his running away from giving a message to Nineveh catalyze the tshuva of the sailors in the boat, it catalyzed the tshuva of the people of Nineveh. If he would have shown up the first time, who says anyone would have listened to him? Some fellow comes from, some foreigner shows up from Israel with some message. Would they listen to him? Maybe, maybe not. Ironically, it was through his running away from his mission that he sealed the success of that mission ultimately. That's the Sod HaShkacha. You cannot run away. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has missions. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a vision for how the world will develop. Those visions will be realized. We have the chance to be a part of the team realizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's vision. You know, we mentioned before, I'll close with this, Beis Yosef says that the rationale for laning Yonah, it's about tshuva. You look at other svarim, others make other suggestions. Perhaps Yonah is the final selection of Tanakh that precedes Ne'ilah because it reflects the great power of Tefillah. A third suggestion from Ibn Shu'ib is that it bespeaks V'rachamav al kol ma'asav. A third theme, that Kadosh Baruch Hu has mercy for all of his creations, for all of humanity, Jew and non-Jew alike, for the animal kingdom. Perhaps that's the message, the pre-Ne'ilah message of Yonah. And finally, a fourth suggestion is that Yefshar Levroach Mehashem, that perhaps the dominant message of Yonah at the close of Yom Kippur is that one cannot run away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And now we appreciate what that means. Not only that physically Yonah couldn't run away, but far more deeply that he couldn't run away from his mission, and he couldn't run away from the success of his mission. And that's one of the messages that we derive from Yonah for our growth now over the course of the weeks, the 40-day period that leads us to Yom Kippur. It's to spend time in his bonus and think about what are the missions that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has in store for us. What visions does HaKadosh Baruch Hu have that we can participate in helping to build? What can we accomplish? Thank you so much. This is the first in a series of three shiurim on Yonah. I look forward next week to continuing to learn Yonah with you. Have a wonderful evening and a good Shabbos.